We want to welcome you this morning. Glad you're part of our 10:30 traditional worship. All of you that are guests of ours today, we encourage you to fill out one of our guest cards. So on the far right-hand side of your bulletin, when you open up your bulletin, far right-hand side, there is a QR code. Hit that with your phone and it'll take you to our guest card. Fill that out for us. Give us whatever information you feel comfortable giving us. That'll be good, and we're glad that you're here and part of our time of worship. Take a moment. Welcome all your friends. Glad you're with us today. Good to have you.
Mentioned in the Bible. It's not a biblical word, so to speak, but it's a word that describes something that's reality, and that is that God is one God, but he lets himself be known to us in three separate, distinct ways. One is God the Father, and then the second way is through God becoming flesh and dwelling among us, as the Bible says, in the Son, Jesus, and the third way, Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send a comforter. And sure enough, he did send God in spirit, the Holy Spirit to us. So tri-unity is the way that that word is broken apart. And God is unified. He is one, but there's three distinct personalities that we celebrate and know about God in that way. So we're going to sing a beautiful hymn. It's called the Hymn of the Holy Spirit. If you're on the email list, you should have gotten that to listen to it ahead of time this week. If not, it's real easy. It's written just like our hymns are, but it's more modern. 2017 is the copyright date, so it's pretty new. Some people would say it's an older hymn. If they like to do music that's like in the past 2 years, but this is still relatively new to me, and it's probably new to you as well, but it's beautiful. And it really describes the Holy Spirit in wonderful ways that we can remember and think about throughout the week. So let's learn this song together. The choir's already learned it, and we're going to sing it today. It's real easy. You can pick up on it quickly as we go. Just thinking it and believing in God with this. It's with this, but it's with all that I am, all that I have. I give it to you, God. I am yours. So that's what it means. So believe in the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let's continue as we worship. Hymn number 389 today is our offertory hymn. It's called Spirit of the Living God. It also empowers and helps us to know the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we're going to remain Amen. Thank you, Karen. The Comforter has come. We'll continue singing about the Holy Spirit. The choir's done this song a time or two before, and so you're welcome to join and sing along with us. The lyrics will be up on the screen.
Never come close, knowing.
Oh, thank you so much, choir. Ken, choir, leading us today as we sing about the Holy Spirit, and now we're going to proclaim the gospel about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3 is our passage of Scripture that we're going to look at today. Ultimately, we'll get to John chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, and it's the conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus, and it's about the Holy Spirit, and that's where we are in our study of the Apostles' Creed. So for those of you that are Methodist or Presbyterian or Anglican or Catholic or whatever, you grew up in that tradition, you should feel right at home today, even in a Baptist church, because we're studying the Apostles' Creed for the summer. We're really not studying the Apostles' Creed, but we're studying the truth claims, the biblical truth claims that come out of the Apostles' Creed. And so today we've worked our way, we're down now to the back nine, and we're working our way to the Holy Spirit. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Last Sunday, we talked about the second coming of Christ. There will be a second coming of Christ. The question then that has plagued the church for 2,000 years is, when will it happen, and how will we know that it is near? When is it going to happen? And then how do we know? Well, Jesus tells us we won't know. We won't know when it will happen. Jesus even says the angels in heaven do not know. Jesus tells us, I don't even know. Only the Father knows. So we will never know. We don't know when it's going to happen. All we know is this. Jesus says, until it happens, here's your goal. Here's your mission. Make sure that you are proclaiming the good news of the gospel. He says to us, be alert, be vigilant, be diligent about proclaiming the good news of the gospel, light in darkness. So, make sure that you are a part of the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we give our time, our energy, our effort, our works, we give our resources. We, as the body of Christ, we make sure that we are proclaiming good news in bad, all over the world, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Jesus tells us that's what we are to be doing. He tells us, stop trying to figure it out. You don't know. And you're not going to know. So stop trying to figure it out. Be diligent about the gospel. The creed then affirms biblical truth about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. So the next part of the creed says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. So the Apostles' Creed echoes exactly what Kim was just talking about a few minutes ago. The Trinitarian character of the gospel of the Christian faith. Sadly to say, there are theological libraries that are full of works on God the Father. There are theological libraries that are full, chock full of subject of God the Son. By comparison, works about God the Holy Spirit are limited to say the least. The gospel writer John, he gives us this conversation about Jesus with Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus is a religious leader, a Pharisee, who has been around Jesus enough to know something's changed, something's different. And so he goes to Jesus by night, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak to Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God is sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs and evidence that God is with you. Now, Nicodemus is stepping out of his comfort zone. He's going at night. The other Pharisees don't believe what Nicodemus has said to Jesus in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Jesus then replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and the Spirit. Human beings can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say that you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants." That is, the Holy Spirit does exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do. "Just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you cannot explain how people are born of the Spirit." "How can these things be possible?" Nicodemus asked. One of my old seminary professors was an expert in the Gospel of John. And his name was Gerald Borchert. He has since gone on to be with Jesus. Gerald Borchert wrote about John chapter 3, "When it comes to the Holy Spirit, nothing appears in visible form. He remains a mystery like the wind. We hear it sound, but we cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. There are symbolic signs all over the New Testament: a dove, tongues of fire, the sound of a mighty rushing wind, a breath from the lips of Jesus, a laying on of hands, speaking in foreign languages. But it is a mystery. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, like eschatology, if somebody says that they know," we discussed this last week, "if there is somebody, a preacher," typically preachers are the guilty ones, "and they kind of act like they know when the end is coming. And if somebody acts like they know when the end is coming, when the second coming of Christ is going to take place, then I told you last week, make sure that you get legs and run. Run as fast as you can away from those people, because they don't know." My first trip to Romania, 2013. No, it was my second trip to Romania, 2014. One of the preachers that was on the mission trip was an evangelist. And I was able to hear two of his sermons. Both times that he preached, he said to the Romanians in the different parts of the country, he would, talking about the second coming of Christ, and then he would get real stern, because that's what preachers do at this particular point when they're preaching. He would get real stern and real kind of low-keyed, and he would say, "I believe that in my lifetime, he's going to come again." And that was really popular in the preaching circles because, you know, just like everything, preaching circles, things become popular. And preachers became really, really convinced that they were saying something really good. "I am convinced that Jesus is going to come in my lifetime." Oh, it became so popular. One day we're sitting on the bus and we're headed to a different part of Romania, and I happened to be sitting by him, and I said, "Tell me, how is it that you know?" He said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "How do you know that it's going to happen in our lifetime? Because the angels in heaven don't know, and Jesus himself doesn't even know. So I'm really interested in how an evangelist from Hartsell, Alabama knows. How? How is it that you know?" And he hemmed and hawed around, and I finally looked at him and I said, "Jesus says don't do it. Why in the world, if Jesus says don't do it, why are so many preachers so disobedient to Jesus and they try to do it anyway? Why?" He said, "You know what? You're exactly right. We don't know." Be ready, church. Be ready. And the same is true when it comes to the Holy Spirit. John tells us that it is a mystery. Yes, we're going to try to figure out as much as we can, but ultimately, the Holy Spirit is a mystery to us. I no more preached that in the early worship, in the contemporary worship service. I no more preached this exact truth. I get done with preaching. I mean, I am literally finished with the last word, and Rick Moody and Johnny Beard and I stood over here and we tried to figure the whole thing out. Well, what about the Old Testament? Well, what about the Holy Spirit here? What about the Holy Spirit there? And finally, Rick Moody looked at me and he said, "Did you not just say?" I said, "Yes, I did. I said it's a mystery. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit's movement is a mystery. Yes, there are things we're going to figure out today, but ultimately it is a mystery." And Rick Moody looked at me and he said, "Did you not say that if somebody feels like they've got it figured out to get legs and run?" I said, "Yes, run to your Sunday school class and get away from me. I'm going to make you really in a bad place." In the Old Testament, the word Holy Spirit means the same thing. In the New Testament, it means wind. It means breath. It means spirit. Human beings in the Old Testament responded to the Holy Spirit with terror and trembling and ecstasy and fainting and exaltation. So they responded good and bad. Holy Spirit endows us with specific tasks, powers, talents, and gifts. The Holy Spirit's primary work, and we know this from the Gospel of John and other places in the New Testament, not the exhaustive list of the Holy Spirit's work, but the Holy Spirit's primary work is salvation and sanctification. Because of the Holy Spirit, we are saved. The classical expression of this concept is found in our text for today. "I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." So without salvation, Jesus is saying, you cannot see. Physically you can see, but spiritually you will never have eyes to see the kingdom of God. The point is elaborated. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? "I assure you, Nicodemus, no one can ever enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life." So no one is born physically into the kingdom of God. Rather, entrance into the kingdom is dependent ultimately on the sovereign activity and work of the Holy Spirit. So salvation gives us this new life in Christ Jesus. But here's the beauty of the gospel today, church. It doesn't stop at new life. At new life, God doesn't say, "All right, Joel, you're on your own now. Now, until you die or until Jesus comes again, then you're on your own." No, the Holy Spirit will constantly walk with us through our life. So in the good days, in the bad days, in the joyous, wonderful occasions of life, in the heartbreaking occasions of life, the Holy Spirit will constantly, as I always say, when it comes to sanctification, the Holy Spirit's work is to mold and shape me into the image of His Son, Jesus. And that is accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit. Once again, Borchert writes, "Two extremes have plagued the church when it comes to the issue of the Holy Spirit. One form sees the work of sanctification totally the work of the Holy Spirit. The believer offers no help, but quietly waits for the Holy Spirit to do its work. The other extreme is the polar opposite. The person frantically seeks sanctification on the basis of his or her own strength. Both extremes are wrong. We actively wait for the Holy Spirit to guide us and to guard us and to move us while we do the work that God has called us to do." Let me repeat that again. We actively wait while we do the work that God has called us to do as the body of Christ. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, then a word of caution is always needed. There are way too many preachers and teachers that treat the Holy Spirit like a cat's play toy, or their personal rubber stamp on doing and saying silly and stupid things. If as a preacher you want approval and you don't want to be criticized, then just blame it all on the Holy Spirit. "Well, the Holy Spirit told me to say it." And the crazier it is and the crazier it sounds, the better it is. One thing we do know is this. None of us have even scratched the surface when it comes to knowing the sweet aroma of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. None of us have even scratched the surface when it comes to the sweet aroma aroma of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's work of salvation and guiding and guarding us through life. When I stand before Jesus, when I am done with this life, I look forward to a lot of things. I am going to want to know many things from the Father. One of the things that I'm going to want to know is, why in the world, Father, why do things bad happen on Saturday night in the middle of the night before we get to church on Sunday? And when we get here, all of a sudden things are all out of whack when all week long they were perfectly fine. I'm going to want to know that from the Lord. I hope He gives me the answer. It just is inevitable. On Sunday morning when we get here, something has gone wrong, a power outage or something during the night. I'm going to want to know some really good things too. But one of the things that I'm looking forward to seeing is being able to look back over my life and look and see how the Holy Spirit guarded me and guided me and helped me and held me and loved me and taught me and gifted me with so many things. I had a great conversation with an old friend on Wednesday. And this old friend of mine is married to one of my dearest friends in the world. We met in 1984, and we've been good friends for 40 years. He's one of my dearest friends. He was in our wedding, mine and Janice's wedding. He's a dear friend. And he's going through the struggle of his life. He's 58. He's almost 59 years old. Now, when I tell you about this friend of mine, he's not what we would call nominal Christian. He's not a cultural Christian. He's not one of those guys that just kind of was drugged to church by his wife all those years and he really didn't really know much about it. No, by no stretch of the imagination. This is a guy that loves Jesus. And he loves the gospel. And I don't know anyone who is more in love with the fact that God, through Christ Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, pulled him out of his life of misery and hell and gave him life in the name of Jesus. I don't know anybody that loves that more than this friend. He loves the church. He loves his family. And he's going through the struggle of his life. The last time I talked to him was about a month ago. And he just kept asking me the same question. Joel, how did I get here? How did I get here? And the only thing I could tell him, I said, well, I know that the scripture says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the thief is trying everything that he can to destroy you. But he won't. The promise is, he won't. Ultimately, victory will be in Jesus. At the end of my conversation with his wife, my dear friend, she said to me, Joel, there are things that I have got to give up this side of heaven. And I really don't want to give some of these things up, but I realize that I'm going to have to give some things up. And I'm okay with that. You know why I'm okay with that? I said, no, I want to know. She said, because I have the vision of sitting at the banquet seat with my Lord and Savior Jesus and sitting at the banquet feast with my Lord and Savior Jesus. All of this will be over and all of this heartache and all of this pain will be done and I will celebrate forever and for eternity with Jesus at the great banquet feast. And so I'm okay with giving up some things for the rest of my life while I'm here on this earth. And then she said, do you know how I'm going to be able to do that? And I said, no, tell me. Through the power of the Holy Spirit And I said, girl, that will preach. And she said, really? And I said, no. That will preach this coming Sunday. She's Presbyterian. So she knows the Apostles' Creed like the back of her hand. I said, I'm at the Holy Spirit. She said, oh, well, then you're right. It will preach. Paul said to the church at Corinth, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. May the Holy Spirit always lead us to the good news of the gospel. How will I be able to do that? The power of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for that good news today. And my goodness, it's good news. Thank you for the good news that you're not going to leave me on my own. On my own, I am a complete wreck, mess. Thank you that you hold me and pull me and guard me and guide me and lead me and direct me and show me truth. Thank you, Father, for salvation through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that you didn't leave me there, but your love and your grace pull me closer to Jesus. Thank you for that. If there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus today, Father, may they know Him. For all of us who know you as Savior and Lord, Father, just burn it into our hearts. The gift of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The hymn of the Holy Spirit is our invitation. You've heard the gospel proclaimed. If you've never trusted Christ, we encourage you today to trust Him. If you need to come and pray, join our church, do that as we stand, as we sing.
Holy Spirit, guide my vision. Help me see.
Please be seated real quickly. What do we have first? We have our family night at Sand Mountain Park. Micah, our children's minister, will be leading that July the 24th. I believe that's Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8:30. That's going to be a fun night. So take your family to Sand Mountain Park. If you want more information, see Micah, our children's minister. All right. Salad and ice cream social. That's the next thing for our senior adults, August 13th. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table. Praying through the armor of God. That will be 2 weeks from tonight at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Ken will be leading us as we pray through the armor. We'll have singing and worship, and it's just going to be a great night of prayer. So make sure you come be a part of that night. Grief support group. Paul's going to start a grief support group that begins Wednesday night, August the 14th. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table as well. All right, we have several things. Special call business meeting this Wednesday night in the sanctuary at 6:30 normal time, and the deacons and a committee from the deacon body will be leading us in FBC Legacy Fund through the Baptist Foundation of Alabama. And so we'll talk about that at 6:30. If we have time, we'll do a Bible study and then prayer. But that will be this coming Wednesday night. Men's ministry golf outing, August the 17th. More information, Brian Harrell, Elliot Rowe, Michael Brown, and sign up for that. That's going to be a great day. We will certainly have a lot of fun on that particular day. All right, two quick things. I hope you've noticed the monitors, three monitors down, one monitor upstairs, scrolling all of our, or many of our announcements. Thankful to M&B Technology, Andy Mason, for getting all of that done and taken care of. We're really excited about that. And then, what was the other thing, Ken? Oh, tomorrow morning, at early in the morning, we will be putting in a new air conditioning system for the office and the hallway all throughout here and the office. So, the office will not be closed, but Karen and Amy both have, they have desktop computers. The rest of us have laptops, so I'm going to be here. I'll probably just be upstairs with my laptop in the air conditioning. And so we've just kind of told Amy and Karen, don't worry about coming in. The phone is going to ring over to Karen's cell phone. So if you need something, people will be here. I'm sure Anchored Adventures ladies will be all over. Ken will be here back in his area. But as far as the office is concerned, there's no air in there tomorrow. We don't want Karen and Amy to have to sit through that. So we should be back up and running normal time Tuesday morning. We'll have the doors open tomorrow so you can come in and out and everything will be fine. But a lot will be going on, and so just make sure that you kind of know that's where what will be going on as far as tomorrow is concerned. All right, let's all stand and close by singing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him.